Well, let's look at the Word a little bit this morning. All the great things we've already heard. Great testimonies, great sharing there. But we're going to look a little bit at the Word in Luke chapter 2. I heard some people mention this particular verse, and I started reading some of these things around here again. We're in Luke chapter 2, so let's take a look at that a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we'll begin reading there. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." But like Tim shared earlier, you know, a lot of times you see this, people get afraid, and the encouragement of God is, don't be. You know, there's no reason to be afraid. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." Don't fear. Because there's always a reason why you should not fear. You know, just as much as people think with their eyes, their five senses eyes, they look around about them and they see things that give them reason to be afraid. God's perspective always is there's equally more reason not to be afraid. And that's always the encouragement of God. You know, and here the angels, God's messenger, says to them, "Fear not, for this is why. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know, with the coming of Jesus Christ was great news. This was great news for all people. You know, and yet people still live in fear. People still cower in fear when they look at life. And yet, with the coming of Jesus Christ is great news. No more reason to fear. And this news of good tidings of great joy is to all people. For, verse 11 says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And of course, that day that we know, and a lot of the scholars know, you know, was not December 25th, but sometime in the fall of the year. In September is a good time to put it. And this is speaking of that very day, the day of his birth. You know, which we just happen to celebrate in December, which is, by praise God, we celebrate it. You know, I'm glad that people celebrate it. Whether, you know, you could celebrate it in August if you wanted to. But it wouldn't quite be the same. You'd have to change all the songs. "I'm dreaming of a humid Christmas." "Just like the ones I've sweated out." But we're not going to change those songs. We're going to keep it right where it is. This is speaking of the day of his birth, right? So he says, this day is in the city of David, there's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's born this day. This is good news. This is great news, for cause for great joy. And people walk around, you know, bummed out, not joyful, even though they know who Jesus Christ was. See, we're in Luke chapter 2. Verse 12, we'll keep reading. "And this shall be a sign unto you." And of course, you know, this it's always interesting to consider that this grand announcement, this of angels coming to announce the birth of the Savior, they come and they announce it not in the temple to all the priests and all the Levites and all the Jews that are doing their duty. They come to the shepherds in the field. Because they know there's not going to be any arguments there. They know there's not going to be any intellectual battles going on about who he is and where he came from. What is his bloodline? Who is his parents? And then we'll believe you. You know, no, they heard the announcement and they believed. And here's the sign. If you want to go find it for yourself, here's the sign unto you. "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, with that one angel that was speaking, giving the message, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, and that, of course, is one of the great, themes of this holiday season, this verse. You know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Or peace on earth, one of the other ones reads, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's other renderings to that verse which are interesting to consider. And I heard this one gentleman mention this. He said, you know, it's peace on earth and or peace to men of goodwill is a good rendering of that. And I thought, you know, gee whiz, that's an interesting rendering. I had to stop and look it up. So I checked all my different versions, and I found some great renderings of this verse, which really communicates some of the heart. The Amplified Version, which is what I think the gentleman was referring to that I was listening to, said peace. It says, peace among men with whom he, speaking of God, is well pleased, and in parentheses, men of goodwill, of his favor. Another version translates it, peace to men of goodwill. Peace to men of goodwill. Another one renders it, and I think this one is probably the best. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. You know, the great joy of the news of the coming Savior is the grace of God. And there is great news to those who recognize what God has provided. Because it's on those that recognize what God has provided through His Son Jesus Christ that God's favor rests. God's favor rests upon all of mankind. If they will just recognize it, that it's available to them through Jesus Christ and no one else. You know, if we look at Romans, this was another thing that came to mind. When you look at Romans chapter 5, you know, this is why it's such great news. This is why there should be such great joy in the coming of the Savior. Because it makes available God's grace upon all men. That's what His favor is, His grace. That's what the word grace means, favor, right? Peace to all upon whom God's favor rests. You no longer are in conflict with God because of the Savior. This is great news. If we're no longer at odds with God, then we are free to be blessed by Him. In Romans chapter 5, right? That's where I wanted to go. There's a great verse in verses 1 and 2. Tremendous truth there. It says, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Peace on earth. Hey, this is great news. The Savior's come. The Savior's been born. Glory to God. It's God who gets the glory. And there is peace upon those, there is peace with those upon whom God's favor rests, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have peace now. We can be at peace with God. No more reason to fear. No more reason to be apprehensive about anything. By whom, verse 2 says, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access now into God's grace, into His favor, because of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, we rejoice now. With the coming of Jesus Christ is all the reason in the world to rejoice and not fear. If we really believe in who this man Jesus Christ really was, this Jesus of Nazareth, if we believe that He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed, the one promised, you know, thousands of years before in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, then there's no more reason to fear. There's no more reason to walk the way the world walks. You know, now we live in the world. Sure we do. But we don't have to fear their fears. We don't have to be concerned about things the way they are. We can be concerned about things, and rightfully so, but we look to God for the solutions. We look to God for the answers. We look to God to supply our need, not the state of the economy, whether in this country or another. One person was telling me this, that he's, you know, working the ministry work now, and for any minister who's paid as a minister, he has the choice in this country to opt out of paying for Social Security if he wants to. He doesn't have to pay Social Security on his ministry income. And we were talking about it, and I said, well, you know, what difference does it make? I mean, you know, if you can take that money and make it do better things than, you know, paying Social Security with it, then praise God, go for it. God's going to take care of your needs anyway. And it's kind of like, you know, I did this, you know, 15 years ago, so it was no big deal to me. But he said, you know, it was interesting because I was talking to Sangit Bains about it, and Sangit said, you know, well, what's Social Security? What is that? Because Sangit, being from India, he has no clue as to what that is. And he told him, he said, we don't have that in India. God takes care of us just fine. You know? He's like, yeah. We aren't to think the way the world thinks. We're to think the way people that really, really believe God are to think. You know? With the coming of the Savior, there's cause for great joy. Not great concern, but great joy. See? Because now through Him, we stand in God's favor. We stand in God's grace. We are always walking in God's grace. Always. He desires to favor you. He desires to do for you what you need done. Always. This is cause for great news. This is cause for great joy. This is great news. You mean I stand in God's grace now, in His favor? Yeah. That's why those angels were saying, oh, praise God. Glory to God in the highest. Because finally, God's grace rests upon all men. All men who choose to come to Him, right? And recognize who the Christ really is. We stand in this grace and we rejoice. That's our lives now. Joy and rejoicing. You know, we don't have to be happy about the way things are sometimes, but we can still have cause for joy and rejoicing because God wants to favor us. And in the midst of all of life's calamities, all of the worst that life can offer, and you can think of some rough ones, God still is looking at your life saying, I'd like to do you a favor. I'd like to help you. I'd like to bless you. That's what I'm here for. See, that's God. We stand in His grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. You know, the world has cause to be concerned. Everyone who looks by their five senses, by looking carnally at the world around them, has cause for great concern. Things aren't real good out there, folks. And yet, the believer, in spite of it, has cause for great joy and rejoicing. That doesn't mean we live like ostriches and keep our head in the sand. You know? We know what's going on out there, and we know why. We know there's a devil. We know there's an adversary who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because if the believer is blessed, then God looks really good. But for the believer, It's the world is the world. But for us, there's cause every day for great joy and rejoicing. Every day. It just depends on what we're looking at and how we're looking at it. Well, I need this, I need that, I need this. Well, okay, don't you think that God has enough to take care of that for you? Yes, He does. Ephesians chapter 2. This is about God's grace. That's why it's such great news. You know, that's why it's a cause for, you know, to not be fearful, but to be rejoicing. It says in verse 4, but God, Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. His great love wherewith He loved us. You know, He just didn't love us like, you know, a human being could love. You know, He doesn't love us like we love one another. You know, God has got, He makes our love look pretty lame. And ours sometimes looks pretty good. You know, we can love each other, right? We do a pretty good job loving each other sometimes when we're in harmony and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You know, we love each other. We do a pretty good job of it. I feel really blessed with the love that I get from my fellow believers, from you, my family, you know. But God, His love is so much greater, isn't it?
Yes.
Of course it is. He is love. And for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. This is great news. This is great news. Yeah, for by grace you're saved. It's by grace that He's raised you up. He's made you alive. Even when you were dead in sins, right? When you know, really all that means is that because of your imperfection, you're as good as dead. You've got no life to look forward to. And that's, we're all in that same boat. But God, by His mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, He's made us alive. He's helped us to overcome that problem and given us the solution to it through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Him. It's by grace that we're saved. This is great news. Man, this is terrific.
Yes.
What am I afraid of? I don't need to be afraid of anything anymore. Nothing. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that is the place to live, right there. Right there. That's the place that you sit, so why not live there? Why not live there every day? Why not sit there and look around you and go, oh man, that place is going crazy. That place is going down the dumper. This guy over here is crazed out of his mind. He's nuts. And yet, here I sit in the heavenlies with nothing to be afraid of. That's where we live. That's where we reside day by day, moment by moment. In the heavenlies, with Christ, seated on the right hand of God. Oh man, I don't have to. You know, if everything's going nuts outside, and let's just say that, you know, it's a war zone out there, and you come in here because you know that you will be safe. I'll be safe inside. I open my door. I say, come in. Everything's fine. And you come in and you sit down. You kind of sit and you rest easy a little bit. You've got a little safe place to sit. Well, don't you think the heavenlies are a little bit safer than my house?
Yes.
I would think so.
Yeah, wow.
That's where we sit. That's where we live. This is great news. And we sit there for a reason. God made us sit together in heavenly places with Him for a reason. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might be able to show you something. He wants to, it's like, sit down, I want to show you something. He wants to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to show you. So, what is there to be afraid of?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Well, not when I read the promise and when I read what God's trying to tell me. God's knocking me over the head saying, hey, see, I want to show you something. I want to show you how my grace is just like really, really a good thing to be walking in. It's really a great thing to be standing in. As a matter of fact, it's a great thing to be sitting right here in the heavenlies with me in. Because I want to show you some things. In the ages to come, I'm going to show you some great things. That's God's desire. You know, what is your desire? Is your desire to sit there and live there with Him? Or is your desire to live out there in the world where everything is upside down, chaotic, and nuts? You know, now we may physically walk this earth. And we, sure we do. But the reality of our lives is seated in the heavenlies where God wants to show us His favor. This is good news. It most certainly is. Verse 14 says, for He, Jesus Christ, is our peace. You know, peace upon those, you know, peace for those upon whom God's favor rests, right? Jesus Christ is the peace. He's the reason we can be at peace. Because He's the reason that God is able to shower His grace upon all of those who believe Him. And so He is our peace. He's removed the conflict that we once had between ourselves and God, who's perfect, and us who are imperfect. He's removed that conflict. He's removed that once and for all. And He speaks to all men, right? This is great news for all, right? He hath made both one, both referring to the Jews and the Gentiles, and there's nobody else. In God's eyes, you're either Jew or Gentile before you come to the grace of God and become part of the church of Christ, right? You're the Jew, Gentile, or the church of God. That's God's definition of people. Not, you know, Jew, Gentile, Arab, you know, Chinese, yellow, brown, pink. No. It's either a Jew, a Gentile who, you know, are outside of the promises of God at that point before Christ, or now with Christ, we're all one. We're both one. Jew and no more Jew and Gentile. It's all one before God. You know? And He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And verse 16 says, and that He might reconcile both unto God. Jesus Christ reconciled both Jew and Gentile. This is good news for all men, not just the Jews, that their Messiah came, but for all men. May reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He didn't slay us. He slayed the enmity, the conflict. The cause for the problems, the cause for the conflict between God and man are resolved. They're all taken care of. This is great news. Now we sit in the heavenlies. Now we are just waiting as God shows us His exceeding kindness, right? The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness to us. And verse 17 says, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. Those that were far off, even the Gentiles, Jesus Christ preached the peace of God to. There can be peace now. No more conflicts. For through Him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto who? The Father. God is now our Heavenly Father. We have access to Him. He seated us with Him in the heavenlies. We have access. If we live there, then we don't have to be concerned about anything. We just give things to God. We live our lives. We do what God inspires us to do, and we reap the benefits. We reap the results of God's grace and God's favor to us. Now, God desires to bless our lives. You know, the only holdback in that is our doubt. You know, are you motivated to do something for someone when you look at them and you say to them, I would like to bless you, I'd like to do you a favor, and they look back at you and say, no, you don't. Does that motivate you? No, you don't. You're lying to me. You don't care about me. What does that do? Does that motivate you to do anything for them? You kind of just kind of throw your hands up and go, oh, okay, you know, I'll probably wind up doing it anyway. You know, but that's what people do to God. God says, I want to bless you. I want to do this for you. I've taken care of all the reasons why I shouldn't do it for you, and now I want to do it for you. You didn't have anything to do with it. My only begotten Son had everything to do with it. For because of Him comes grace and peace. No more conflicts. Now we're blessed by God's favor. God's grace. See, we just need to live there. We need to expect God to back up these things for us. Because He's the one who's promised them. You know, the angels were just throwing a party that day. They were all standing around, yes, glory to God. God did it. He did it. He did it. Man, we've been waiting for this. Isn't this a great day? And that's nothing compared to the party they threw when God ascended Him after He'd raised Him from the dead and sat Him on His own right hand. Now that must have been a party. See, we have every reason to joy and rejoice. No more reasons to be afraid. No more reasons to be doubtful or apprehensive. But every reason under heaven to walk forth with great joy and anticipate what God will do for us because He desires to favor us. You know, so let's remember that. You know, there is cause for great joy and great rejoicing. Not just because it's Christmas time, as the calendar lets you know, and as the retailers let you know. But there's cause for joy and great rejoicing because there's no more any reason to be afraid. Because we're seated in the heavenlies. And we stand in God's grace, in His favor. Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thanks for the way You continue to prove to us Your willingness and Your desire to bless us as we look to You and we trust Your promises to be true. We're grateful, God, that You are true to Your promises and that we can expect You to favor us. We can expect You to do great things for us because we love You for all that You've done for us. Thankful, God, for the great things that we have to look forward to this week as we continue to look to You, the things that we need in our lives, Father, for the way that You will supply our every need according to Your riches and glory, for the way You will back up every promise, the way You will heal our hearts, heal our bodies, and heal our minds so that we can walk forth bringing great glory to You as Your sons and daughters. Thanks, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.